Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
A year ago today, 3 days after the Boston Marathon attack, investigators announced a major breakthrough in the case. Rick DeLaurier, who was then special agent in charge of the Boston office of the FBI, made the surprise announcement.
After a very detailed analysis of photo, video, and other evidence, we are releasing photos of these two suspects. They are identified as Suspect 1 and Suspect 2. They appear to be associated.
The release of the images triggered a series of events that ended in the death of one of the suspects and the capture of the other on the streets of Watertown. WBUR's Bruce Kellerman lives in Watertown and has been investigating the story for the past year. This morning, on the anniversary of the dramatic shootout, Bruce is still trying to understand exactly what happened and why. Here's his reporter's notebook.
Dog-tired from covering the Boston Marathon bombings round the clock, I'm in bed less than an hour when my editor calls. Something about a shootout on Laurel Street. Explosions. One officer down, another dead. Get there, fast. It's 1:24. I'm on the corner of Mount Auburn and Franklin Street near Watertown Square. A half dozen police cars, lights flashing, and a helicopter overhead draw a handful of onlookers. I go into my who, what, where mode.
There's a SWAT truck from Cape Cod. A lot of police cars, Weston, Waltham, State Patrol K-9, you can hear the dogs.
Okay, it seems that they're getting in their cars here to go somewhere. Let me go find out what's going on.
Get out of here. For now, can you get out of here? We're trying to make plans. Thank you.
After this polite but firm buzz off, I get out of there. And to my surprise, I make it to within a block and a half of the Laurel Street shootout. I start knocking on doors. Tom Svensson answers.
We were sitting in the living room. We heard, I thought fireworks. I looked out here, and I mean, I know gunshots. I could hear gunshots. I looked over. I could see the muzzle flashes over here. I was standing in the front door. I'm like, hey, everybody get down. I couldn't believe it. It was crazy.
3 a.m. A huge tent goes up at Watertown's Arsenal Mall. It's a surreal scene as federal agents, state, and local police converge, turning the suburban shopping center parking lot into an armed camp.
Yeah. Say your name.
Stay right where you are.
Come over here. Stand back. Stand up.
Stay here, please.
Stand up.
Okay. No audio, Steve.
Across the street, a fleet of TV satellite trucks transforms the Target parking lot into a media center. A 20-square-block police perimeter keeps scores of reporters and camera crews from covering events unfolding just a few blocks away. It's an uncomfortable reversal of roles as social media fills some of the void. Residents tweeting what they see, uploading fuzzy cell phone videos to YouTube. Reporters recycling what they can. I don't like it. I'm from the school of journalism that teaches, if your mother says she loves you, check it out. There's nothing here to check out. Finally, at 4 a.m., something real to report. Massachusetts State Police Colonel Timothy Albin walks up to the mics.
At about 10:30 last evening, a robbery took place at a 7-Eleven in Cambridge. Subsequently, after that, an MIT police officer was shot on campus and has expired as a result of his wounds. There was a carjacking that took place as well in Cambridge involving a Mercedes SUV.
By now, you may have heard the story so many times it doesn't shock, but this night, hearing it for the first time, it shocks me like no story I've ever covered. Hijacking, shootout, manhunt on the streets of Watertown?
In the exchange of the gunfire, we believe that one of the suspects was struck and ultimately taken into custody. A second suspect was able to flee from that car, and there is an active search going on at this point in time.
A narrative quickly takes shape. Then as now, this is what we know for sure. Two brothers from a war-torn region of Russia are accused of an act of despicable violence. One ends up dead. The other, found in a boat, is now in prison facing a death sentence. But there's plenty we still don't know. Over the year, I returned to Laurel Street again and again, interviewing residents and eyewitnesses. In May, I'm with the Watertown police officer who was second on the scene the night of the shootout.
Shots fired.
I see the a male exit the vehicle, arm raised in a shooting position. I hear the pop, pop, pop.
As Watertown Sergeant John McClellan walks down Laurel Street, he points out the bullet holes in fences, shrapnel stuck in homes, and a chunk of road dug out from a bomb blast. The shootout ends here, McClellan says, near the end of the block. Joe Artsanayev runs back to get the SUV as his older brother Tamerlan charges McClellan and fellow officer Jeff Pugliese.
He starts running right down the middle of the street, right at us. So I'm out here and I'm drawing down on him, and I said, I'm going to kill you, get on the ground, I'm going to shoot you, get on the ground. Now I have an empty gun, I don't have any ammo at all. So I'm like, you know, I'm just bluffing him, hoping he's going to get down to the ground. He's coming right at me. Jeff Pugliese, the sergeant, jumps on his back, drops him to the ground. And then my only thought at that point was, this guy's throwing bombs at us. He's either strapped or he's got another one, or his brother's got a button. As soon as we get on him, he's going to blow us up. I'm like, no way. I couldn't let him do it by himself. The only thought running through my head is, you know, I'm the supervisor of this guy. I can't let this guy go by himself. I got to help him. So I jump on top.
Watertown residents are mighty proud of their police force. Watertown Strong t-shirts sell out. They don't have my size. A month after the shootout, Sergeant McClellan, Pugliese, and others on the force get a standing ovation at a forum at Watertown High School. It's billed as an opportunity for residents to submit written questions about the dramatic events to Police Chief Ed DeVoe. But DeVoe doesn't have answers.
We're not going to talk about the perimeter. We're not going to talk about, what weapons were involved or weren't involved, and how long the guy was away and where did he go and all that stuff. We just can't talk about that. Like I said, there is media in here. This is a public building. We couldn't prevent them from doing it. They want to report back what's going on here. But the first few questions that we got were just more dealing with the criminal investigation. We just can't talk about that.
And they haven't. Virtually every aspect of the story has become part of an ongoing investigation that's been tough to report. Court documents sealed, attorneys forbidden to speak to reporters, people unwilling to go on the record with what they know and saw. Jennifer Peter heads the Boston Globe's local news team that recently won the Pulitzer Prize for its breaking news coverage of the Boston Marathon bombings.
The investigative part of it has been very difficult, and we're doing our best to get everything we can out of the court proceedings and, you know, also looking into the background of the brothers, trying to see what made them do what they apparently did.
What began a year ago as the story of two brothers who allegedly turned on this country and the city that took them in, we now know is part of a much larger narrative. It's about a triple homicide in Waltham. It's about what the FBI knew and when they knew it about a trip to Dagestan. It's about whether the FBI tried to turn one of the brothers into a confidential informant. And on that question, if not, why not? Asks Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. He's ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee. And why Watertown? Why did the Tsarnaev brothers come here on that night a year ago? Not once, but three times, returning again and again to the confusing maze of streets in this part of the city. I spent a year asking these questions. I wish I had answers. They're out there. If your mother says she loves you, check it out. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Kellerman.
Bruce's story, Watertown, A Reporter's Notebook, was produced by WBUR's Kelly Horan.